back, and glad to have you along for the ride. It's kind of a wild Monday, as things often are. Let's look ahead and see where we are tonight. We're going to play a couple videos for you, short clips, and we're going to read more of the human side of this catastrophe, this organized, intentional, genocidal catastrophe that you never hear about unless you listen to this program. Nobody else is out there trying to present the people's suffering and anguish and grief. That side of it is completely being hushed up and covered up by the controlled Bolshevik Zionist media, which wants nothing to do with reality when it comes to these kill shots. And they have, as I've said too many times to count, probably dozens of ways to end life. It is that sophisticated a device. And yet, when you watch the misinformation gurus, the big three and others, trying to confuse and to stir the pot of chaos, you should get angry about that. It's just, it's really disgusting. The whole graphene oxide caper, the Hydra caper, it's all the same. We'll talk more about that. Erica's standing by as always. We are here three times a week for you, not for us, and we're doing our best to keep you as informed as we can. Hello, young lady.
Hi, Jeff. Happy Monday.
What did you say?
Welcome to another week.
That's better. Mm. It is so difficult, honestly, to have to look at human suffering like this and know that there are people out there, uncountable numbers of people, whose lives will never be the same. They have been destroyed to a very large degree. It's very sad. And what we're doing now is, in addition to Erica's monitoring social media, we're kind of listening, and you're all invited to do this too, to your local fire and rescue services. You can hear them talking back and forth, and if you are in a town of any size at all, say 40, 50,000, you're going to hear a lot of things that you'll never hear on your nightly news in that town or in your local paper if you still read. It's not worth reading, really. They're busy all the time. I talked to Nurse Ann today. She'll be on this Friday, so don't miss that. She has many new stories to tell about the horrors going on in these death factories, which used to be known as hospitals and were looked upon by the informed as a safe place to go. No more. She says it is so bad there now that, well, she'll be here Friday. I don't want to spoil it, so wait until then. She also said she lives down the street from a hospital with a helicopter pad, and, you know, they do medevacs. And she said in the years past, it would 2-3 times a week, there'd be a flight in and a flight out. She says every day now, constantly. Going, coming, going, coming, going, coming. So I think we have predicated that, I have anyway, that tens of thousands of people a day may be dying. We don't know. I think that's a reasonable projection. And if you do these things and listen to some of the information we're able to bring you, you'll understand that there is a hell of a lot going on out there that's being hidden. That simple.
Indeed.
Three paragraphs and I get one word out of you? Indeed?
No, you covered it.
See how clever she is? I don't have a chance. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about a number of things tonight. Certainly we're going to touch on the cancer issue. More and more it looks like this deployed bioweapon is a cancer-causing machine, right?
Yes, for sure.
That's three more words.
I mean, okay.
All right, never mind. Go ahead.
No, I mean just the whole transfection process invites cancer, and then the protein that is being produced as a result of the transfection sets the stage for cancer, if not drives cancer. I mean, the protein itself binds to the P53 gene, which is a tumor suppressor gene. And if that's not working, whatever cells that that's in have a good probability of becoming cancerous at some point. And then the BRCA1 gene as well, that has implications for, well, obviously breast cancer, but also ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, and prostate cancer. So those are critical tumor suppressor genes that when they're disabled or handicapped, as they are, when the spike is around, that's one pathway to cancer. And then we also have another transcript in this mRNA, courtesy of Moderna, that interferes with the DNA's ability to repair itself. It's a mismatch.
Right.
Repair pathway, DNA repair pathway, and that's handicapped. And then we have the ability of this transfection, in some cases the virus as well, to activate latent viruses that in some cases are also cancer-causing, human papillomavirus being one of them, adenovirus, another one, polyomaviruses. And the most well-known with that one is the SV40, which it's hard to know how much of the population is carrying that one. But all of these are pathways to cancer.
May I say something? The SV40 was discovered. Salk put it in there. That means simian virus.
It was a contaminant that came in from the monkey kidneys.
Simian virus SV. Yeah, simian virus SV40. And they knew it was there, and they didn't say anything. The last I heard, over 45,000 Americans were murdered by that contaminant, and nobody would ever admit to it. They had mostly brain and kidney cancer. Go ahead.
And now it's in the population. I mean, it's spread now. It's here. It's part of, you know, I guess you could consider it endemic. But nobody tests for it. But when they do look at cancers sometimes, you know, you can find sequences of that virus in the cancer, so it's likely a contributor, if not the driver of that cancer. But, yeah, it's implicated in the mesotheliomas of lung cancer and also some of the childhood brain cancers.
I think we're looking at, and there's a whole nother aspect of this, and that is primarily constituted by the cases that we come across. They're anecdotal. Yeah, we don't have the x-rays and the lab work to prove it, but they come from good sources. Many of these people who are dying of cancer after getting the shot or shots are dying quickly. Diagnosis to death a month or less in some cases. Not even enough time to come up with some protocols to try to fight it somehow with radiation and chemotherapy. And it's occurring all over the body. And multiplicity of tumors, not just one or two, there are numbers of them. So this cancer, there's something else going on here, Erica, and I don't know, we don't know what it is yet, but somehow your innate cancer suppression technology is being neutralized or destroyed by the spike. En masse, it's gone. And cancers are just exploding everywhere.
Well, I think, you know, for the reasons we just mentioned, that's a major part of it. But also this dysregulation with the iron. When iron is high or it's being mismanaged, I mean, you've got oxidative stress in areas of the body that, you know, you can quickly use up your reserve, and then you start damaging cell membranes and lipids and nucleic acids and your DNA. And iron, oddly enough, is known to be high in cases of endometrial cancer. That is a common feature.
Well, that sounds like Ryan Cole.
Well, we've had an explosion of endometrial cancers and
he
also
was the first
cervical
one
cancer.
To say it.
The iron is a big player in those cancers, high levels of iron. And we know that this spike protein is dysregulating iron in multiple ways. first off, it's a hepcidin mimetic, and hepcidin is your body's sensor for how much iron it needs and or doesn't need, and so it controls the levels of iron in the body. So you can imagine if you have something, some other foreign protein in there that's competing with that, you're going to have problems.
We should also mention the baseline reason we need iron in the body is very simple. And what the spike protein does to separate the iron from its mission. Can you give us that real quick?
Well, yeah, the spike protein will attach to the heme molecule and pretty much destroy the hemoglobin and cause the iron to dissociate. So you can't carry iron. Your red blood cells are unable to carry iron. And both heme on its own and iron on its own, when they're not paired or transported properly, they're toxic. They're very, very toxic. And the iron will cause all kinds of oxidative reactions. And there's a form of cell death known as ferroptosis, where basically too much iron accumulates in the cell to the point where it just fries. You have so much damage from oxidative stress that all the membranes in there, and it's damaged to the point where the cell has no choice but to die. And, of course, if it doesn't die, then it becomes cancerous.
See, that's just another way the spike works. It kicks the iron and heme apart, and they're both toxic independently of each other when they're not coupled together. And then you've got no mechanism by which to transport oxygen throughout the body to all your cells, and the iron is very toxic, and you've got no real easy way to get rid of iron, except they used to use medieval bloodletting, and inadvertently I think they were helping some people with that. But you can't chelate iron out of your system easily.
No,
it doesn't happen.
No, you can't. There are some chemical chelators, but you're stuck with a catch-22 because you do need the iron. It's just that with the spike protein messing with it, it's in the wrong place at the wrong time for the wrong reason. It's not a matter of having too much. At some point, yes, it's particularly with these women that are bleeding out, they are losing iron, and they become anemic. But, you know, how to correct this is the problem, and I don't know if anyone's figured it out yet.
I don't believe they have. We're going to stop talking about iron right now, but we're going to come back to it. This is one of the many primary methods of destroying life that this bioweapon injection brings about. The disassociation of iron from heme. It's a big part of the story that no one is talking about. So if you hear it anywhere else, hopefully the people are going to pick it up because it's crucial. But I doubt if you will because they're all hung up on graphene oxide. Oh, my. And 5G.
Oh,
I'm going to go on record as saying that graphene oxide and 5G should be packed in a nice little box and put up on the shelf. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
They are not primaries in this issue at all. They're not good for you. The spike is the killer. 5G is not, it's here, okay? It's all. And by the end of the year, only 67% of America, about 70%, will have access to 5G. So don't buy into this stuff. Oh, 5G is controlling and causing the graphene oxide to assemble in transmitter receivers and movable identification beacons, whatever. That's bull. It's not true. And they can't prove it. It's all spec.
Yeah,
it's all clever disinformation.
Somehow or other, people have been convinced to believe that graphene is magnetic. It's not. Graphene is not magnetic. It's conductive. It's not magnetic. Iron is magnetic. And people are walking around with iron in them right now. Some people have a lot of iron in them. And they have other paramagnetics that when they are in strong electromagnetic fields, yes, some people are very sensitive to that, and they suffer for it. But it's not graphene that's doing it.
No.
No.
Okay, let's jump back and listen. We listened last time, Friday, to John O'Looney, who is always worth listening to. And this man has come a long, long way. He's extraordinarily well-informed now. He is not afraid to speak the truth. And again, I say, and I'm not being mean, but any doctor or health professional who is not willing to stand up and identify this shot, this injection, as anti-life and a biological weapon designed to do one thing, and that's kill people, is lying to you either by ignorance or omission. You choose. I don't care. It's time to stop playing games. We've been telling you this for well over a year now. We're not playing games. I don't know why they are. I think some of them are obviously being stressed, shall we say, by certain special interests to keep quiet. So they kind of mishmash it around. They don't even get there. All right, anyway, here's Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. Oh, she's got another name. Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. We'll just call her Laura Lynn. And John O'Looney, the UK funeral director, who has really become incredibly well-informed. Here we go.
Small storefront of like an organization of three people for something like this. We're going to be confirming it all. But basically, they paid millions of dollars to ensure that all Canadians have to be tracked and traced. And it's to some kind of, you know, weird business that has very, you know, three people. I mean, what the heck is going on? You know, we're not fools, and we're not going to keep taking this.
It's just corruption, greed, and an evil desire. I mean, these are people that have money. They've got enough money. They now want power and control, and that's something you can't buy. So they're going to install it. Now, I've had a lot of people reach out to me. One of the most interesting was a contact that I had from two separate people. Now, one of them was an oil rig worker, and he was complaining. They tried to mandate. He knew something's wrong, so he lost his job. They sacked him because he wouldn't have these poisons in.
Okay, we got to hear this on Friday. I'm going to let it go because it is very important.
Another one reached out to me a couple of months later who worked in recruitment, and she worked in recruitment exclusively in the oil rig industry. So there are recruitment agencies that employ purely for that industry because it's a specialized skill. It's not any engineer. It's an oil rig engineer. It's a, you know, and she said that she'd reached out to me because she was very concerned about something. So they got rid of all the guys on these oil rigs who wouldn't take the vaccines, right? And then the people that run these recruitment agencies got a list, and they were asked to compile a list of everyone that was in the employ who was vaccinated and to source replacements for these people because it was felt that these people had 3 years left. So she was given a list of all the positions that she needed to fill, and it was all the vaccinated people they are looking to replace. And I said this to this guy. I said, look, hold tight. They'll end up begging you to go back, and you'll be able to go back on your own terms because these people will die. That's exactly what's happening. And the guy spoke to me. He said, they've offered me my job back a year later. You know, so I know that's what's happening. And this girl, it frightened her to death because she then understood why they were asking for this, you know, to replace this list of vaccinated people. And she works in recruitment. These positions are specialized, you know, so it takes some time to source these personnel to man these rigs. And they've given them the list of vaccinated people with a view to replace, having to replace them all. And that, you know, it was a very telling three-way conversation that I had. So, you know, I kind of wish that I was wrong. Nobody wants to be wrong more than me. I'd love my own life back of mediocrity, unknown funeral director, just looking after people. The reality is that's never going to happen. And I suspect it will really hit the fan the moment the internet goes out. Once the internet goes out, that's a good sign that something ominous is about to happen, you know. And I suspect there'll be a couple of practice runs to normalize it, you know, a 3-hour outage, a 3-day outage, and then, you know, perhaps a 3-weeker when they're prepared to move on individuals and start rounding people up. It will happen. But I feel very proud to have been part of the resistance against it. You know, it is very much a David and Goliath scenario. And I fully understand the consequences of being honest. That's the reality. That's the world that we live in. But I don't care. I would never beg for my life. And you know, I want to go down in history as the man who said no, and I'll meet my maker with a clean conscience.
That's such an amazing thing, and I just appreciate that, I think, because you are committed to the truth, and it means a lot to us, and that's why we trust you.
Well, do you know, your family is just as important as mine. As much as I've got a boy, and I love him dearly, and a wife that I love dearly, your family is just as important as mine. You know, I would throw myself under the bus for any of your kids. I wouldn't even blink. I would just do it, you know. Sadly, I think the mistake I made was thinking that everyone is wired the same way. They're not.
See, there's what we try and get across to anyone listening. People are not wired the same. Some will choose the path of denial. Some will choose the path of just confrontation. They love to fight and argue. There are many ways to step around the truth and reality of what we're facing. What we're facing here is massive death. And I will repeat again, we are really taking an extra effort now to try to serve the needs and interests of the 20%. We're trying to help run interference to keep as many of the 20% alive and reasonably healthy in these very treacherous times. They, when they built this thing, knew damn well that shedding and transmission were going to be a way to round up those who were vaccine refusers. They knew it. They planned it. And we know now that we have, I don't know how many stories we've heard of people who just one off, they'll give somebody a hug or a touch or a handshake or 10 minutes sitting at a table away in a restaurant and you get sick. This is not a joke. So anyway, back to John. Do you want to say anything?
No. Go ahead.
Two words. Go ahead. All right. You're very economical tonight. This is a cheap date. All right. Hold on.
Surprise, isn't it, John? Because we think that because we don't think in such evil terms that nobody would. So we get taken off guard. Yeah. And I think that those that still haven't awakened, in a way, they're kind of naive. You know, in a way, they're kind of like ignorant to the fact that there's evil. But they're also ignorant beyond belief because of the facts and the data that's coming out. Mm-hmm. They should know. And it is hard for us who are willing to fight very hard right now to not be discouraged because a lot of people don't see that.
Well, I draw comfort from the people that are actually complicit will end up suffering the same fate as us. That's the reality, you know. And I kind of live in the hope that these people will end up in the prisons they've built for us. That's the reality, you know. Everything points to what's happening. I sat 4 foot from Sir Graham Brady. I looked into his eyes. Right. He knew.
Well, when you think of Main Street media and their complicity, those that are probably being paid off to be silenced, I mean, do they think they're not coming for them?
Laura, they're not being paid off. They're being ordered. It's it's called what the boss tells you to do. You do it. Okay? They're all controlled.
Main Street media is starting to be upset because the arrive can affect them because they're flying around. And it affects them. And it's like, don't you get it? Everything's going to affect you. When we don't have food, it's going to affect you. When we don't have internet and they're beginning to round up the non-compliers, that'll be you eventually. Because how many boosters until you're unwilling to keep being part of this sick program?
Of course. At the end of the day, once you've fulfilled your purpose, you're no longer required. That's it. And more chillingly, you're actually a witness. So they will dispatch you. Your days are numbered, guys. You know, all of these fools in mainstream media. What puzzles me the most, I always consider doctors to be amongst the cleverest people. And clearly they're not because they can't think critically. You know, what do they think the future holds for them when the last of us has been led off to a concentration camp or the last of us has died? What do they think the future holds for them? Will these people come over and thank them for helping them in the genocide and pat them on the back and give them a seat at the table? They won't. They'll have fulfilled their purpose. How can they not see that? I can't believe they can't. Can they not see what they're doing to innocent kids? What makes them think that they hide them, you know, they regard them so much more than these innocent children? it beggars belief they could be so narrow-minded and stupid. And as they're led away, they're going to wish they spoke out. They're going to wish they spoke out because their £200,000 a year will mean nothing, nothing.
So,
okay, that's enough. You can look at the video, the whole thing. We played most all of it, and I think you get the idea. John's a very honorable, principled man, and they're very difficult to find, male or female now, at least those in view, and I mean in view on the flat screen. But he is really leading the way now in many respects, certainly in his profession, which I almost include in the medical profession. They're just at the other end of it. Doctors, he rightly criticizes. The stories I'm hearing about doctors in hospitals, for example, and again, Nurse Ann will be here Friday. She'll have some stories, I'm sure, but I'm getting it from other people. These doctors are all complicit in the insurance company mandate of obey or don't get money. That's the insurance companies are running the hospitals. It's not the other way around.
Yeah,
trust me. All right. We have one other shorty here. The Rockefeller Medicine seeks to silence death shot critics. You want to play that one real quick?
Yeah, that's a short one.
Okay. Let me load that up here.
Okay. Hi, Freedom Lovers. This is Dr. Peterson Pierre with America's Frontline Doctors bringing you today's Daily Dose. So the Rockefeller Foundation is donating $7.2 million for the Mercury Project, which is behavioral research focused on convincing people to receive the COVID shots. This foundation was started by oil mogul and father of Big Pharma, John D. Rockefeller. The research project also wants to fight health myths and disinformation. I wonder what they consider health myths and disinformation. The fact that the shots don't stop infection or transmission? Or wait, maybe it's the fact that the fully jabbed and fully boosted are more susceptible to COVID. Or perhaps it's the fact that the jabs have a lot of potential side effects. The project also wants to censor dissenting viewpoints. Surprise, surprise. So the countries they're targeting are South America, Africa, India, the West Indies, and the U.S. It is vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent, because the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Ladies and gentlemen, only the truth will set you free. State.
Okay. You'll notice he still didn't go as far as I would like to see him go.
Talking about
vaccine efficiency or whatever. No, forget that. What is he doing by saying that? He's reinforcing in the minds of many people vaccine. It is not a goddamn vaccine.
No.
It is a kill shot. It is a biological weapon of death. It is anti-life, it is evil, it is demonic, and it has no place in medicine. This is a battlefield weapon that has been somehow snuck into the arsenal of Rockefeller Medicine and administered to 5 billion people plus now on the planet. And those of you out there who have been shot up, for God's sake, don't get any more boosters. This new booster is bivalent, and half of it is the old Wuhan strain with the original deadly spike protein, and the other half is the Omicron strain with a new spike protein. So you get two spike proteins for the price of one. We don't even know what the hell the new one does. But I guarantee you it's not going to do anything good for you.
No, it's toxic. And I still don't know if there's some sort of, in addition to, the P53 binding and BRCA1 binding sites on it. I don't know if there's something else in this one. Being that early on when it was first identified, they called it an oncomere.
And an oncomere is not something you want to know about on an up close
right.
and personal basis. this is really bad news. This is this new spike protein with the Wuhan spike has 7 known binding sites which cause proteins in your body to misfold. And they go on and cause the next protein they bump into to misfold, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have fibrils formed, and then you have microclots formed. Take it from there, and you can see where it's going. So we've got problems. We don't know if this new spike might have 20 or 30 or 40 binding sites on it, so it's more efficient at causing protein misfolding. We don't know, but they're not wasting time. They're clamping down on everything.
Well, my guess would be there'd be some kind of, you know, tumor promoter in there.
More cancer.
You know, that this original one doesn't have one already. We don't know. It's just I would be very, very cautious the next few months as people line up for this thing. You know, I've heard stories that, you know, people are actually collapsing in the parking lots after leaving the pharmacies getting these boosters. How common is that? I don't know,
yes.
But I've heard it more than once now.
Right. Nurse Anne on the phone today said that she and her man were in a store. I don't know which store it was, but they were walking around shop. She walked over to the pharmacy to see what the scene was there, where they give shots, like bioweapon injections and other shots. And she said they were lined up for the boosters. Lined up. It boggles my mind.
I'm just out of words.
She said she went up to the alleged nurse. We don't know if these people giving shots are nurses or not. And she asked her, she says, "You do this all day?" She says, "Yep, I shoot them all day." And she almost said to this woman, "Why don't you just get a gun, put bullets in it, and make it quicker?"
Yeah.
And these people, and then she turned around to somebody in line behind her. She wasn't in line, but she was right next to the line. And it was some guy, and he was listening. And she looked at him and said, "I'll be seeing you at the vascular ICU unit," or whatever it was, the vascular unit at the hospital soon. And he didn't have any idea what she was talking about. Clot City. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, so they are succeeding in keeping this largely covered up.
Oh, the average person doesn't know. And as we've relayed so many times, they don't know until it's too late.
Right. And even then, the cognitive dissonance and the rationalization that they just had a spate of bad luck.
Oh, if only I'd gotten that booster sooner.
Mm.
I wouldn't be dying now. Okay. Smells in the unvaxxed, or smells the unvaxxed are smelling. Smells in the vax. Somebody wrote it backwards. All right.
I think we had a couple left over from Friday in that area.
Let me go down and see. We have 4 of them, yes. 1, 2, 3, and 4. See them at the bottom there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I don't. You better start.
All right, that'd be September 23rd?
Mm-hmm.
Right toward the bottom. Smells. The last 5. Okay, here we go. I can smell the vaxxed. And I get allergic reactions. They are not spreading virus-like particles. More importantly, they are spreading their poisoned sweat and breath, just like someone who drank a lot of alcohol. They smell and leave their excretion wherever they are, just like the vaxxed. I am quite aware about EMFs, as I have an EMF meter and know quite well about the detrimental effects of these kinds of radiation. But to be clear, the vaxxed spread their body poison wherever they move. wherever they go and whatever they touch, i.e. in the supermarket, the food they cook, big difference. I do not talk about virus, which in the original meaning meant poison in Latin. So there's the first one. Are you able to see any of these? Or did they get?
I'm not seeing them.
Right below all the shedding group. All right, I think these others are real short. Let me try and zip through them here. Comment to that. Yeah, you're describing the graphene oxide contamination. Now, this person, bless them, but they don't have a clue. They don't know anything except what they've heard or read somewhere else, which acts like that in matter. My English suck, and I am bad at explaining, but watch this guy. He explains it much better. It's a 13-minute video. So he offers up a 13-minute video to talk about smells. Next person says, no, actually it's the first person answering. No, it smells something like burned plastic. Now, Erica has something to add to that. Burned plastic. And I suppose these are the PEGs, P-E-Gs, polyethylene glycols, which are in the body and the body wants to get rid of. Graphene or metallic particles are the cell opener to bring this lipid formulation into the cell, and the cells are heavily poisoned. By digesting and circulating them, the metabolites are excreted through the skin and breath. Just like someone who takes a lot of medication stinks like a chemical plant. Well, there are several things in there that warrant comment. And you want to talk about this smelling thing of burning? That's really interesting.
In addition to the we have the VOCs coming off these people. And then possibly some putrescence, rotting proteins, just because areas of the body are becoming starved of oxygen, they're dying. And then if there is a smell of maybe burning flesh, everybody seems to want to think it's radiation, but what's happening is with this iron issue, what you're having is something called lipid peroxidation. And it's... basically, when iron builds up in the cell and it causes oxidative stress and it pretty much fries fats. Your cell membranes are made of fats and they become oxidized and eventually die. And it's conceivable that some of this burning smell, acrid burning smell, is actually the fats of their cell membranes being oxidized. The iron is a big deal here.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. Remember that. You're hearing this kind of conversation. It's very important, so listen for it elsewhere. Hopefully people will pick it up. But iron is a key player in this carousel of death. Believe it.
And don't forget Trump's tweet there back in May of 2017, the COVE-CC. Well, C, F-E, is the sign for iron on the elemental chart.
He wrote that. Cove, fee.
Yeah, nobody knew what it meant at the time. They came up with all kinds of analogies or interpretations of what it could mean. To this day we don't know what it means, but I think it's awfully coincidental that we have a disease here that's overtaking the population that seems to be driven by aberrations in iron metabolism.
Really important. We'll have more on this. All right, here's the last one from that September 23 group, then we'll get up to the new one. The first person I read from answers again. He says, my mate calls it putrefy, internal rotting and degradation of a human insides, mixed with perfume and aftershave and body odor. It's gross. Now, if you all remember, I don't know when it was that I made the case for that. We talked about putrescence, that these people are actually slow-mo dying and their bodies are rotting, and that's partially what we're smelling. And it's good to see it being talked about more, because before that, we saw nothing. The next remark, this is the next stage, smelling like rotting flesh. First, some weeks after vaccine toxication, they smell like PEGs burned in a pan. And after, I would say 6 months, they smell like rotting flesh if they do not take the booster, which renews the PEG load to start that cycle up again. And someone adds, this one jabber also has that smell, somebody he knows who's been shot up. Sometimes it's worse, especially if he drinks. And if he opens his mouth, he is rotten inside. When it is really bad, it's a mixture of urine, feces, and something putrefied. If you have ever been close to someone terminal, you get that same smell. It is death. I smelled it on a couple of fellow workers. Okay, that's the last one from that group on smells. Very intuitive. When you smell something, you need to understand that the smell itself may not harm you, but it is a warning to get away. People are really dumping things like spike protein. So use that as an alarm bell. We don't think the molecules of odor necessarily are carrying anything, but you never know. So, okay, we're up to September 26th, so go ahead. We got
all right, well,
a bunch.
I guess we should continue with smells, maybe?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I was with an unvaxxed friend who had the odor of the vaxxed. It was very upsetting. I wondered how deep the effect went. It was a pretty strong odor. If she had been a stranger, I would have thought she was vaxxed. And someone replies, I have a friend like this too. Hangs out with an injected woman every day. I noticed the last time I went to her house, she smelled like she had had the shot. And I left with a sore throat and sinus issues. I actually thought she went out and got injected, which would have been weird since she knows most of the truth. So I'm wondering, what are they passing on that can cause them to the smell to someone? Maybe the variation of the shot that causes them to rot smell really is a self-spreading injection? I wonder what is going on inside my friend. I didn't have the heart to tell her she smelled, but I have told her I smell them. I actually was mad because I thought she was lying to me, but now that you notice, maybe she's not. She swears she didn't get a shot, but won't listen when I tell her to stay away. Did you tell your friend you smell it on them? All right. She says, no, I didn't tell her she smells. I smell the smell right away. We live in suburbs distant from each other and only see each other occasionally, though she is a very dear friend. We meet at a midpoint and walk and then get coffee. My mind refused to attribute that smell to her. However, a few hours later, we parted. It finally clicked in my brain. She smelled that awful smell. I was devastated. I know she's not lying to me. She and her husband would probably prefer to die than get the jab. However, the rest of her family is jabbed. The babysits the grandkids. Oh, she babysits the grandkids on a regular basis and sees her daughters and their spouses very often besides that. She has no shedding symptoms, or if so, does not think it is shedding. She believes me when I tell her I have shedding problems. I'm taking some time to cool down and decide how to approach the situation. This was just a few days ago. Also, I will see if that terrible smell is still there next time. It was the rotting smell. Slight difference in appearance. She looked older. Had to stop to catch her breath when we walked. This is just terrible.
Okay, hold on. Several things here. One, we would like to warn everyone that there is going to be, already is, a good deal of lying about vax status. Okay? People are not going to tell you the truth. Now, at the end of that first read that Erica just did, slight difference in her appearance. All right? How many times have we heard that people who have been shot up look 10 years older? Mm-hmm. It takes a while, but they get there. They age very rapidly. We're not sure why. And slight difference in appearance, looked older, and had to stop and catch her breath when we were walking. Now, does that sound like she didn't have the shot, or does that sound like she might be fibbing about having the shot? I don't know. I'm just noticing the two things right here. They're screamers. You can't miss them.
Well, there is the possibility she's lying, but I think equally that, you know, she could be the victim of shedding, or she could have the actual virus. You know, the virus is still out there.
We don't know how far shedding can drive someone down the road of profiling like someone who's been vaxxed.
Well,
but
I think
some cases, go ahead.
We have a couple cases of people being diagnosed with cancer, unvaxxed, but spending time with the vaxxed. Certainly, you know, the dogs and cats, there's been numerous examples of that. And then we have people that have developed clotting issues after being around the vaxxed.
So, had a stroke?
Well, one was having blood clots removed.
Clots. Okay, clots.
Yeah. Blood clots. She has clots in her lungs now. And that's
right.
Just
and
from,
everyone,
you know, working in an office with these people.
For every clot they remove, will you hear Nurse Ann on Friday? For every clot they remove, probably 10, 20 more that are subclinical that are growing. Micros. Okay, go ahead.
All right, there's a response to that. This is what really troubles me. What in the world are the jabbed passing to innocent people? That horrible smell has to induce something, and it can't be good. And when will we find out what this is all about? Another one says, shield yourself, take the anti-vaccine spike protocol. Someone else says, no, but I had the usual shedding symptoms later on, the burning skin and the upset stomach. And then the last one says, do update if she smells again, because we want to know if the body would detox on its own after a period and heal, and the smell may be gone. See if this is what may happen.
Here's one more. I smelled the fabric softener smell, rot smell on her too, and she does look a little older as well. Strange thing is, the other day she messaged me and said she had COVID. Then she said she got a test to make sure. Mind you, this is someone who knows the tests are bullshit and the virus has never been isolated. It's so strange, none of it is making sense. I can't really talk to her anymore because I'm like, how the F at this point in time can you take a test or change your stance like that? Also, she keeps telling me she's having heart problems now, but doesn't want to listen that her injected friend, who she has all laid up in her house, is the one who is causing all of this. One of her cats died suddenly, too, a few months ago, and she got a new one, which was healthy when she adopted it. Then a few weeks later, it was sick, all lethargic and limp. I felt really bad for the animals, but she doesn't think anything of it. Now she smells. This is a new development with the uninjected smelling, the unvaxxed smelling, and causing us the same symptoms as the injected. Are they going to necro inside too? How? It's all so crazy.
Makes you wonder.
Go ahead.
All right, last one for smells. Secondary shedding. I have also smelled the vaxxed on the unvaxxed. Once on my ex, who was seeing a vaxxed, the other fellow, an unvaxxed worker, when he was sick.
Duh. See, this is all in indications. These are all indications of shedding being... It almost seems like it's getting to be worse. Maybe as these people get further down the line toward grave health problems from being vaxxed, injected, maybe they begin to shed more. Maybe the spike protein sensing a dying organism are trying to vacate quicker. I'm just guessing here. I don't know. But there seem to be more and more intense experiences of the unvaxxed.
I think what's being overlooked in many cases is its effect on the microbiome. And the virus is known to create, you know, pretty dramatic alterations in the gut microbiome, but, you know, also the mouth and other orifices. It may be that after a certain point in time, if you're around this stuff enough, you know, your microbiome shifts and you've got a different profile of bacteria, and they're producing, I don't know. You know, if we believe the Italians, they could be producing conotoxins and, you know, various venoms. But, you know, what do they smell like?
Well, this is going to be picked up by some professionals at some point. And it will. I don't know how you'd even check. Maybe it could be a microbiome issue in the digestive tract that's causing
these types of smells. Yeah.
There's no, the transit time is slowed down and things are just rotting. I don't know.
Well, it's just a different species of bacteria. They've been altered based on these changes in the blood chemistry and the proteins that are circulating. They change too.
Right. Okay. One more real quick one. My sister, never sick a day in her life, hospitalized with uncontrollable vomiting, which began immediately after her third shot. A week in the hospital to get it under control. Diagnosed at the end of that same week with aggressive lung cancer. She survived chemotherapy and radiation. Then she had a massive stroke and died.
Incredible.
Okay.
How do you make sense of that?
Again, so many different ways that this incredibly difficult bioweapon can kill. It's horrific. Anything to add up here? We have to roll it.
Yeah, that should do it.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, thank you very much, as always. See you Wednesday, and then Nurse Ann will be with us on Friday. Okay.
That'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Okay, good night, everyone.
Okay, back in just a minute with Mitchell Henderson. Stay tuned.